then you say line dance at the end.
Yeah. Ah!
Do it again, do it again, do it again. This is actually the intro.
Line dance.
That's great.
Wasn't fierce enough.
That's great. No, that
was line dance.
That was great.
That's too
All right, so yeah, this is Lachlan Hawkins. Amazing. Drummer extraordinaire and hand pan player. I'm Magellan and this is Court.
Hey.
We just do stuff.
comical relief.
Yeah. So how's things in life? You're
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah? Hanging in there with COVID and all that?
Yeah, I've been still pretty busy, really.
Yeah.
Despite the lockdown and the interruptions to the music scene. I've been teaching a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy. My music schools have been looking after me and we've still been continuing as normal, really. We had to go online for about 6 weeks, which provided some challenges.
Cool.
But navigated that pretty well. So I've just been, you know, pretty quiet, hanging out down the coast. Just taking care of me, really.
Yeah. And doing some writing and things.
Doing a little bit of writing, yeah.
You have a bit more time to do that stuff?
Yeah, when the motivation is there, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're sapped away with, you know, you watch the news a bit too much. You see everything that's happening.
Yeah, we don't own a TV. That's
good plan.
Well, we did.
We just gave it away. Thanks, Corinne. You're keeping us safe.
We threw it in the bin.
Yeah, pretty much. I think
my TV is unplugged at the moment, so.
Yeah, we went somewhere recently and, like, it had been months before, maybe, like, a whole month, and we hadn't heard anything. And maybe it was my
Yeah, we went to your parents.
Yeah, and we had this, like, whole, like, chat about all the things that are happening in the news, and I think I left there and was like, Helen, I feel freaked out again.
The world actually exists outside of our studio. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Social media is a bit of a demon like that.
Yeah.
So
hardly go on there either.
Yeah. I've deactivated my personal Facebook account.
Oh, you have? What?
I have, yeah. So that's been my big win.
Mm.
Just to distance myself from that, just because it wasn't, you know, I wasn't contributing to it. It wasn't contributing to me at all. Things I was sharing were not reaching the, you know, people, and I was just like, this is very tiresome.
You didn't have those algorithms down
pat. The algorithms were against me. So, yeah, just sharing, you know, when I feel like it, I'm just sharing things on Instagram and through my website and blogging and writing and journaling and, just taking care of me, as I say.
So,
it's been good.
Can you tell us a bit about you? So you're a drummer. Right, so jazz drummer by trade, if that's what you say.
Yeah, I've been drumming since I was 9, so I'm nearly 26 now. So,
a little while.
Huge part of my life has been drumming, and that's been my main thing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz drummer mainly, but I also freelance around with, you know, different recording projects and wedding bands, and I've actually got a corporate drumming group.
Yeah.
We do a paint drumming.
Oh, nice.
Paint drumming kind of featured performance for clients. We travel around the country and fly in and play this 5-minute, you know, highly choreographed paint drumming thing. And
Miss Congeniality style? Are they like paint everywhere?
Pretty well.
Yeah?
Pretty well. It's actually not paint. That's the secret.
Ah.
We don't use paint because it's a bit messy. We would have a few more workplace health and safety things if we did that. We already have
toxicity,
some.
Toxicity, probably have to wear glasses, goggles.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, face masks are in at the moment. So.
Yeah. You'll
be we were going to do a whole routine in scuba gear.
Oh, yeah?
One of my
really?
Drumming mentors said you guys should just all wear scuba, like really tight fitting scuba gear.
With the like flippers and everything.
With the flippers, the whole thing.
And the mask and the snorkel.
And you know, the other thing we've joked about is we should reach out to Gatorade or something and get an endorsement because we use different colours and
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah. You could do baby reveals.
Yeah.
Just have like you do like the drumming and then like out comes like the colour of the baby. Like do like baby reveals. Have you not seen this? How people like get that's balloons so full of shit and they just like pop them and all the confetti pops out.
Like it's a boy or a girl, so it's like
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could do like baby reveals.
It's a versatile drummer group. What can I say?
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah, I play music in hospitals.
I'm going to copyright that idea, by the way. No, I'm kidding.
It's not taken.
Side business, baby reveals.
It's not taken.
Sounds better. No, it sounds worse than it is.
It sounds worse than
it is. Baby reveals. No comment.
Let's no move comment. On from that rather quickly.
Yeah, the power of drumming, you know.
Yeah. The things it could do for society. Yeah. No, that's real cool though. How did you? Because you've played with some pretty high profile people.
Yes. Been lucky too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably the highest profile. I guess at the time was the most exciting and just felt like everything to me was playing with James Morrison,
mm-hmm.
which I got a call from his agent when I was 18 just to play a gig out in rural Queensland with him and his quintet, which was awesome. And that led to about 12 months of working with James, mm-hmm. Playing, you know, corporate gigs and playing in his band in Brisbane, which was really just, you know, at the time that was that swing music, you know, jazz music. I was really into that, and that was really special. But I've had a lot of friends and colleagues I've worked with through the conservatorium, that's led to some nice musical moments.
Yeah.
I could say, and traveling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I play in a Brazilian jazz group called The View from Madeline's Couch.
Mm, yeah.
Which some may know about, and they've been around for 20 years. And we had a tour planned for New Zealand, actually, but with the COVID disruptions, that was sadly...
Cancelled completely?
Cancelled, yeah.
Oh, bugger.
That's okay.
Yeah. I suppose that sort of thing's hard to put on hold and just be like, yeah, we'll just come later. Because you can't, like, really do that.
No.
With bookings and stuff.
Had a few exciting things planned, actually. Jordan Brody, fingerstyle guitarist from Cairns, he was due to come here and we were going to play some shows. And Can You Keep a Secret and Dust Temple and all those awesome venues. And, Mad Couch, we had an album launch planned.
Yeah.
Jazz piano player Sophie Min, she had some album launch plans as well with her orchestra. Her kind of big band meets strings.
She got an orchestra now?
Extravaganza. The Sophie Min Jazz Orchestra.
Oh, yeah. Did not know that was a thing. That's cool.
It's pretty cool, isn't it, Diego?
So cool. She's going to drink your water. Sorry. Diego, no, that's not for you.
It's good.
Ah, nice. You, just by the way, are like, just with your drumming, you are pretty much one of like the most, okay, she's actually, I'm just going to.
You can have the water. Okay. I'm hydrated.
I hope so, because that's the only chance you get. No. Your drumming is incredible to listen to because you, like, say a whole heck of a lot, but you say it in a way that's, like, really, like, subtle. And for, like, I don't know, it's just when I've been in bands before, like, even, like, playing in jazz bands, you know, when you just get that drummer person, then they're just, like, way too loud.
Yeah.
And they say everything for everybody else. And it's like, what are you doing? I think it probably becomes across because of your personality too and the way that you like do life. You're a really sensitive, thoughtful person.
I'm sensitive to everything.
Yeah. It comes across in your drumming, I think. So,
thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Is that a thing you've tried to create or you just are?
Yeah, I don't know if I try to create it because sometimes people ask me to create the opposite and I find that really difficult.
Yeah, true.
Unless I'm really angry or something. But which is not often.
Really? Don't joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I don't know where it comes from, because I didn't always play drums like that.
Yeah.
But definitely that's evolved through time, and my listening tastes have evolved over time. Even things I hear, you know, recordings I used to like, I've listened to, you know, the last few years, and your tastes generally change over time with, of course, you know, your environment changes, your network changes.
Mm.
And the way I've played has developed, I guess, and things have happened to me personally that's reflected on the drums, I guess.
Yeah.
I've had, one mentor, he said something really important. When you improvise, you can't escape yourself.
Cool.
You are.
Snap.
Which happened at uni a few times. We'd have some workshops and they'd be improv.
Yeah. Oh, they used to scare the crap out of me.
Improvisation workshops. Yeah. In a group.
Yep. With everyone else watching you.
And
pulling you to shreds.
Go.
Be amazing.
But a few times we wouldn't have any guidelines or any, we're not playing a song or anything. It's just free improvisation. That happened in the percussion department, actually.
Yeah.
With some of the percussion majors. And it was really interesting just to watch other people, how they react and how they play when they're kind of in that, you know, you must play right now. You need to create something.
Mm.
Because you can't hide anymore.
No.
You can't hide at all. So it's just your natural self kind of just comes out. So I generally try and play like that all the time.
Yeah.
Really, doesn't, you know, not always successful in doing that. So we all have things we like to play and our little, you know, licks and cliches and things that we sometimes.
Those go-to safety nets.
The go-to safety nets on the bandstand.
Yeah.
Which can happen a fair bit. But yeah, I'm a pretty sensitive drummer, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, it's really beautiful to watch. And I'm really hoping that we can, like, actually go see gigs soon because, yeah, it's, I miss all that. I miss, like, watching people play music live. I'm ready for Corona to be done.
Yeah, I'm a bit over the online stream concerts.
Yeah, the entire universe. Yeah.
Pretty well.
Yeah. So how'd you go from drumming to handpan? What created that shift?
Yeah, it took a long time. I remember listening to a video in high school it's a very famous handpan video, which you might have seen. I don't know. It's a handpan duo. Hang Massive, they're called, and a tune called Once Again. And I heard that in high school, I don't know, year 10, year 11?
Yeah.
Just during a music extension class or something, I think. I was just not doing work, obviously. And stumbled across this video, and that got my interest. But it took me about 5-6 years to actually find one for sale to purchase and to start learning myself.
True. Because they're just hard to find?
Quite rare, yeah. Back 10 years ago, you had to join a waiting list of 3 to 5 years to get one.
That's
or you could win a lottery. You could try and do it that way.
Wow.
Which is this guy here. I didn't win that through a lottery, but through a flash sale, which they do now a bit more often. So they'll just put an instrument up for sale and first in, you know, you get it kind of thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, I started learning, when was that, around 2014, 2015. Didn't have any teachers or anything, but I was just so obsessed and just keen to explore something different. Mm. It wasn't the best instrument, admittedly. It was a bit out of tune, and it was actually a prototype from one of the Australian makers. So it's got a bit of history, I guess. But, yeah, I just used to sit down for hours and just come up with my own thing.
Yeah.
And that was, I think that was the thing that drew me towards it because, you know, drumming's and jazz drumming has a very set, almost kind of set tradition of how you should play and, you know, you should listen to the greats of the past and, you know, transcribe their playing and work out what they're doing and can be, I don't know, a little bit limiting sometimes.
Yeah.
Diego's not limited at all. He just wanders wherever he wants. It's great.
No, I think she was drinking that entire time. We do feed her.
You've lost the coffee cup.
I think it's empty.
We should.
So, you know, just be like Diego when you play the handpan. Just
yeah.
There's no limits. You know, there's no handpan teacher. There's no set tradition or anything. So I think that interests me a lot.
I always found that weird too, like playing jazz. It's very like it's all about improvisation, but it's like you've got to improvise right.
A fellow like, conservatorium major here.
Yeah,
it can be a lot of things that are, I don't know what the word is, but forced upon the music sometimes.
Yeah.
But this just offered another avenue, which is really cool. And I had the percussion background and the drumming background.
Yeah.
Obviously this draws together the melody, you know, melodic side of things with the rhythm, which interests me as well because I had played a little bit of tune, mallets, marimba and xylophone and things in high school. I don't know, just, yeah, I was drawn to the sound for some reason that I don't understand yet.
Well, it's pretty magical to listen to. It's like as soon as you start playing, like you're going to play for us later, right? You're
going to
play
Pretty decoration.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some expensive furniture here at Lion Dance Records.
It's actually just a UFO frisbee thing.
Yeah.
No, but I'll just be sitting over there in the heap, in a heap in the corner, like, whoa.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Transcendent, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you know, like, the history of them, like, where they come from and stuff like that?
Yeah, they come from Switzerland.
Yep.
And they were made around 2001, so not even 20 years old, as an art form, which when you think about it, it's like, whoa, that's quite rare. Obviously, every other instrument has this whole lineage of history and tradition and technique and whatever. So there's some really high-level handpan players who are, you know, pushing the boundaries of what's possible and, you know, some guys go and learn how to play tabla and all the Middle Eastern styles to really fine-tune their hand technique and everything. And it's pretty cool, you know. There's even a video you can check out of a French handpan artist playing one of the Bach cello suites.
Oh, yeah.
On six handpans, maybe seven. It's just beautiful. That's just cool. Opens up a whole, yeah, whole other thing. So.
Yeah. By the way, can you send us a link to the one that you found in grade 12 or 11?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
Won't be hard to find.
All right.
Has, I don't know, 20 million, 30 million views or something. Yep. They've done really, really well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, also, when you started playing handpan, is that when you started singing?
No. Here's a historical fact. I started singing before I played drums.
Wow.
Through my primary school choir.
Oh, yeah?
We actually performed at Brisbane City Hall. I remember it pretty well. Back when I was, I don't know, 7 years old, 8 years old.
Yeah.
We used to play in the boys' choir.
Nice.
Good old choir days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love choir music. Yeah.
I liked it when you get to go like, woo. That's my favourite.
I know, this is very
I like the action.
Very serious choir music.
Oh, mine was not serious at all. Oh, wow. Was this like private school? Private school?
No, state school, yeah.
We just got a bit judgy.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I definitely went to public.
Couldn't afford to go to a private school.
Yeah, I did. I totally went to a public school.
Yeah, I know.
You went to a public school, yeah.
No, I went to college or high school. But it doesn't matter. All I did in high school was play guitar anyway. So it's like not waste. It was great.
Waste of college fees.
Yeah.
No, then I did drumming. Well, my brother actually played drums first.
Mm.
And he got lessons and he was right into it. And then I was interested in it through him. And then I kind of took over with the lessons, and he let me use the drum kit, and went from there, really.
Yeah.
And then singing, I don't know, the singing kind of, I always did that a little bit, did it a little bit in high school and whatever. And then I took some lessons at the Young Conservatorium for singing.
Yeah.
Through Nick Hollenby. Shout out to Nick. He's great. But I was terrified. Like, the performance anxiety was incredible.
Yeah.
Of singing, because I had to do public recitals.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the conservatorium. That was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I still hate it.
So.
I don't hate it, but it's still scary.
Mm.
Yeah.
So a bit of that still stays with me. But, yeah, and then again in uni it went away. I didn't sing at all first few years of uni.
Hmm.
And then it came back because of the handpan, I suppose.
Yeah.
And life experiences.
Life experiences. Yeah.
You know, personal things that happen and you're looking for a vehicle to voice what you're feeling, and this was the way to do that.
Yeah.
So singing, yeah, came with it. Yeah.
Hmm. And another thing that's like important with the handpan side of the journey is the stairwell project.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. The stairwell project. It's it's a music, I'll be very, very careful how I word this, because it's not music therapy exactly.
No.
Because we're not trained as music, I'm not qualified as a music therapist. But it's a music, you know, live music initiative that has therapeutic effects, you know. And we've been going into hospitals and playing for patients and staff and visitors since 2015, mainly at the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital, playing in the public areas and the big stairwell, 9-level corridor.
Yeah, that was
which just
good.
Rings out like a cathedral. It's just amazing. For the handpan, especially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the handpan is a big part of the sound there. It just works really well. So Peter Breen's the director of the project as well.
He's a cool
and
dude.
And Peter's, yeah, you know Peter.
Yeah.
Bit of a visionary for music and art initiatives around Brisbane. Mm. He was a big component of the graffiti movement in Brisbane as well. To get that out there and have messages through graffiti and try and have that be acceptable, you know, in society. He's done lots of other exhibitions and
yeah,
the Jugglers Art Space he had for a long time still operates, but it's just under a different lens at the moment. But yeah, it's been really good. I've had some really powerful experiences with patients and. With healing through the handpan with the stairwell.
Yeah.
Team, yeah.
And there's one song in particular about play, like in the from the oncology ward.
Yeah.
It's on your album, your first album that you put out.
Yes,
that
it
one's
is.
On there, right?
Yeah, Lights Out. It's cool.
Which we'll put links to, by the way.
And I'll play later.
In the thing, under, in the words under the. And you can play later.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was inspired by a patient I met in the oncology waiting area, which if you can picture it, you know, there's a huge waiting area with all these chairs, you know, all together, everyone sitting together, 30, 40 people waiting to see their specialist to get some treatment. So it's a bit of a, can be a bit of a frightening place to kind of wait because they don't know, you know, what's going to happen when they can't see their, bit ominous, yeah. I found it ominous just going in there to play. It's just like,
yeah.
Part of me is like, oh, do I really have, this is tough. Do I have to do this? But then there's another voice that's like, no, this is really important. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's not about how I feel. Just, you know, go in and do it and try and help other people. So.
Yeah. And I think it does help. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah.
Played for some of the patients. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like for me, it's just like I just feel like I'm kind of chilling, but at the same time, I think it definitely helps. Like, my mum was in hospital actually a little while ago. She had surgery on her leg and she hadn't slept for ages and ages, and I just went in with my guitar one day and just sat there and noodled, and she was asleep like within 10 minutes.
Mm.
And it's just, I forget how calming music is and how much of an effect it can actually have on people.
Totally.
In a healing way. So that's, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that patient that I was playing for that day, she said, oh, you know, I've had this rare blood cancer, I think it was. And, you know, I'm in pain every waking moment, basically. But when you were playing, I closed my eyes and I didn't have any pain in that moment at all. I didn't. That was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I watched this TED Talk. I think it was like when TED just first came out. And it was a lady that went deaf at 12 and decided to take up playing the drums.
Uh-huh.
And she went into a music studio and like for her first class, and the guy was kind of like, how are you going to actually progress with this if you can't hear anything? And she was like, I don't know about you, but the way that I listen to music is I feel it.
Mm.
And she taught herself how to play the drums by holding her, like putting her hands on the studio wall whilst he played different notes.
Wow.
And she'd feel the vibrations in her wrists.
Oh, wow.
And in her forearms and stuff. And like she played a full song on stage on this TED that she was doing.
Mm.
And she actually took it because, like, obviously she found like drumming and the vibrations of music so therapeutic that she took it to like children's hospitals over in the States, and she'd lay children, not in a weird way, beneath her drum kit or like even piano and stuff like that, and would play music over the top of them that had been like paralyzed, and they could actually, in some, not in all children, but they could actually feel different parts of their body that were like apparently completely paralyzed.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, through this vibrations of sound that she created. And I was like, oh, it was a really good TED Talk. I've been trying to find it for years since.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, it was really, really, really moving.
Yeah. Because that's why I love playing acoustic guitar. Like I picked up this one the other day. I was playing on this, but because I was recording a track. And like that, I don't know, electric's cool, especially when you like plug it into distortion and shred away and stuff, and that's cool. But like playing acoustic, well, I picked up my acoustic after and it's like, oh, I can feel it again. Because the vibration's like amplified here.
It's right there.
And even when you sing, like it's all like in here and here, like everything vibrates.
Yep.
But yeah.
I hope that's the future. We're going back to more intimate settings and acoustic music. And
yeah. I hope so too. I like it. You should play here.
Yeah.
Do a gig.
We'll hold a concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be super cool.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The power of drumming and its effect on the nervous system and all that kind of thing. I actually want to explore that a bit more. I don't know a lot about that, but at the moment where I am, I'm seeking a bit of change, and I've got that inkling to go back into like research land, which I did back in 2015. I did a whole bunch of research into university level drummers' health and injuries and mental health and stress.
Whoa, that would be interesting.
I did a survey on all these drummers who study at all the top conservatoriums, and just found some mind-blowing facts, you know, statistics that came out of the study. Oh, like 65% of the drum students felt that their past education hadn't in the past, you know, learning with drums hadn't involved any health or well-being focus at all.
Yeah.
You know, your teacher asking about injuries or you know, questioning maybe why you can't play something, you know, if you have some physical deficits or you're having some, you know, some fatigue or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
There's yeah, and over half of them had experienced playing-related pain that had led to them taking time off or having surgery. Or there are a few, like 18, 19 years old, they'd already had surgery on their wrists. And
seriously? Well.
Yeah. And I only looked at 38 drummers.
Wow.
Imagine if I looked at 1,000.
Yeah.
So.
And mental health wise, what was it like?
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was a minor part of the study, but I looked at stress factors mainly and performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Which you can imagine in the conservatorium environment is pretty high.
Oh.
But factors relating to performance anxiety, you know, people feeling more anxious when they're in front of their peers or, you know, compared to playing at the pub, playing some covers down the road. You know, there's a lot of distinctions of when people actually had this heightened sense of fear, you could call it. So, yeah. And I really loved venturing down that road and looking at that because I've got quite a curious mind, as you would know.
Yes, you like the research, all the facts.
So, yeah, still piecing together what I might do, but I might probably go back and maybe do my master's or look at research in an education setting or health, well-being, I don't know, special needs or autism studies, I'm even thinking, trying to go down. Because, yeah, I have a few students at the moment who are on the autism spectrum and, you know, I want to try and learn how I can navigate that a bit better. So,
yeah, true.
Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just thought of like 50 questions in my head just then. Yeah.
And I'm trying to still explore the topic. You know, I'm not at university anymore, so I can't do any formal research studies ethically. You know, I could do it in a casual manner, which I'm sure people do, but, you know, I want to make sure I do it properly. But, yeah, I have talked to some of the top drummers in the world through Skype as well since then. I even talked to Justin Timberlake's drummer and I asked him about the topic. Yeah. And it just reinforced everything that happened, you know, through the study results. And he himself had had pain and he'd had, he even had like his whole body like spasmed on live television.
Wow.
And he like, his body went into like shock just from fatigue and pure exhaustion, basically.
From working himself too hard?
I need to publish the interview.
That'd be fascinating.
I don't know why I'm waiting to post that. I suppose I'm waiting to interview a few more high-profile guys. But, he was on a really late flight and he was, like, super tired, super fatigued, and he flew over to Germany or somewhere. And, he like waited around all day and they had to do this live TV set and they had to do a few takes and it was like super high pressure and it just all the tension got to him and the last note of the song he like fell off his chair and
holy shit.
There probably is a clip of it somewhere, I don't know. He said it was on live TV, so and his body went into shock and they had to put him in an ice bath and they had to get doctors in and so yeah, that gets me really pumped up, that topic.
Mm.
There's not a lot of things lately that get me super excited in that real, you know, drive and joy, you know. So, but looking at that topic kind of really revs me up at the moment, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting that, like, I don't know, there's that side of, like, the music scene that can be quite damaging, potentially, if you don't, like, take care of yourself right.
Yeah. Well, I don't see it getting much better because we've got this whole Instagram culture of,
you
scroll through your feed and you look at about, in one morning, you can look at 30 drummers that are better than you.
Yeah.
And what that does.
What a way to crush yourself. With your coffee morning. For breakfast.
Good morning. It's a good way to wake up, isn't it?
I suck.
Let's wake up with some.
Why do I bother?
No. Self-deprecation. But young, you know, my students probably do that.
Yeah.
I found
this is partly why I don't go on Instagram anymore because, like, I go on and I'm like, why do I play guitar at all? Like, I suck. Seriously. Because there's, like, three-year-old kids that are shredding the pants off me.
Yeah, so, I've seen them.
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, it's great. It's great that they can do that. But, like.
Yeah.
But then also, then, like, my thinking is, well, that's not, like, that doesn't impact me. So why does it matter? and I'm just going to play my music because, like, whatever.
Mm.
But then...
Yeah, I know. For some reason I want to explore that.
Mm. That whole mindset
thing. Not 100% sure why.
And the feeling...
Why don't I just worry about my own drumming? But now I have this feeling to look at that for some reason.
Yeah.
To try and help others, obviously. But because, yeah.
I reckon creative people tend to just feel inadequate all the time.
I swear. I do.
Yeah.
I'm always like,
yeah,
I should be better.
I have my doubts.
Because I was like this good like 10 years ago and now I'm only this much better in my brain.
Yeah.
But
you should see past videos. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I played a drum solo at a Westfield shopping center when I was 9 years old in front of like 400 people.
Wow.
Drum solo. Just no fear.
Nice.
Amazing. Because we have that, you know, that fearless thing when we're a bit younger and we don't have so many people in our heads.
Yeah.
Frontal lobe?
Prefrontal cortex can be a bit active and
hasn't fully developed
yet.
Can
question everything. Yeah.
And then once it develops, you're like, life.
I suck. Instagram.
Instagram. So, yeah, we need to make sure that it's having a healthy effect on young people, not the comparison syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, he's better than me. I mean, I see it at some of the schools I teach at.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in the body language and in the attitudes of how some of these students interact with their peers. It's a bit scary. Of, you know, oh, I'm up to so and so grade. What level are you up to? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to play a little bit of guitar when I met Helen. Now I don't play any guitar. Now I just do the trumpet. I'm like, choose something.
What grade did you achieve, Helen?
She's great when she's
drinking.
Did
you get up to level 3? Huh?
You could give us a
rendition. She's great when she's not drinking.
I mean, it's right there. We could give it a go.
This one's for
Maybe
Diego.
A bit later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to play saxophone for 8 weeks once. That was
nice.
That was
hilarious.
A career.
Very fast career. I think I learned half of one jazz standard.
Which one?
It was Mr. PC.
Oh,
which one did you learn?
Oh, you only learned Mr. PC?
Not good enough.
No,
come on, I was 14.
Joking, that's impressive. I can't play anything on saxophone. I'm a trumpet
player. It's too hard, I gave up. Nah.
Yeah.
Wasn't worth it.
I don't do woodwinds. Brass all the way. Not really. I'm not even biased anymore. I used to be that person. I was like, yo, why would you play sax? Or, like, play trumpet. It's so much cooler. Now I'm like, stuff everything wind. It's all about the strings.
Strings, yeah.
And the drums.
That's it.
Since
everyone can play the drums, right? Everybody can drum.
My dad can't even clap in time. So.
Okay.
I'm sure he can pick up a stick and smack stuff. Sorry, Dad, if you watch. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get it though. Like, everyone can walk and they stay in rhythm when they walk. Mm. You know, like, everyone's got a walk rhythm. Do you hear that, right?
Yeah.
But then it comes to music and everyone's like loses their rhythm. But it's like, it's in here. It just, we are that. It's just as soon as we start thinking about it, it becomes hard.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't think with your head.
Don't think with your head.
Back to impromptu, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wing it. That's kind of our motto these days.
Just wing it.
Yeah.
Just build a studio.
Just build a studio.
Just build a studio and wing it.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job of winging it.
Thank
you. This looks great.
Yeah. We're getting there. Feels pretty cool. Mm.
It's cozy.
Yeah. Speaking of studio coziness, do you want to play a song?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Yeah.
Unless there's anything else you want to share or ask or have any, like, tricks up your sleeve, like, do you fight well or anything?
Any tricks?
Handstands.
Handstands.
I've been working on my handstands.
We can jump on a tennis court. That'd be fun. But,
I used to play a bit of tennis.
We're getting a ping pong table.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty mean ping pong player too, so.
Oh, me too.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
It'll be the line dance.
Yeah. There'll be
ping
a competition.
Pong battles.
Yeah. We'll have to have like a scoreboard. Everybody comes through.
Yeah. I love all that.
She's competitive.
Yeah.
But so are you. So this is actually going to be hilarious. I'll sit there and watch.
People would pay it. No, they wouldn't pay, but they would watch it.
Yeah. We could live stream the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm
We'd make
that.
It mint. No, joking, probably not. Probably no one cares. I care. I'd watch it.
I care. I care about winning. Yeah.
Be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, I'm a big sports lover. Mm. Come from a sporting family. My dad played for the Queensland Schoolboys Rugby League.
Yeah.
So
nice.
I used to love soccer and I was right into that. That's actually what I wanted to do when I was maybe 13. Right. I wanted to be a professional soccer player and
do you have a favorite position?
Centre midfield was my position.
Hey, that's me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playmaker, golden
playmaker. Control. I used to,
yeah,
try to put through the long vision balls, the through balls, and kind of had that overseeing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very good at shooting, and I was too humble to like go for goal. I'd always pass it.
Oh, see, I
near the goal. I only scored like one goal in 3 years or something.
Yeah, I remember the first time I played like club when I was like really young. I was so afraid to shoot that I just like decided to get past. Like I just do like these tricks to get past the goalie, and then I just run it into.
Dribble into the goal. Yeah.
I was just like had that like performance anxiety at that point. I'd be like, "Fuck! If I kick it, it's gonna go that way."
Yeah,
so I'd just be like, "I'll just like flip it over the goalie and just like run it in."
That's cool.
Yeah, I made it harder for myself, but
yeah,
that shot for goal, I just took me a little while to master it. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I'd love to try and connect that, connect with that again. But I mean, I'm doing that through tennis at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm training again. And, I'd love to win a title, basically, a local tennis tournament. That's my personal goal, just to put that out there.
Like a dude recently, I was listening to the radio like a week ago or something, and one of the presenters on there, I forget his name. But he literally, within 2 or 3 years, taught himself how to play tennis and won a title. He's an Aussie dude. And he was, like, presenting on the, I forget what his name is. I think it's, like, Alex or something. But, yeah, like, within 2 or 3 years, like, won the Australian Open.
Oh, the Australian Open.
Yeah,
like, something like not that. Just, like...
Not like something, like...
Like, Beam League Championships.
No, he literally, like... It's literally, like, won a title within, like, 2 years of... Like picking up a tennis racket.
Wow.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
There you go. That's
talented.
That's your goal. No, Jake.
So how long have you been going for?
Started when I was about 11. I've nearly been playing for 15 years tennis. So there goes that.
Yeah.
That's okay. But we'll have our ping pong battle. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I won the titles when I was at uni.
The ping pong titles.
Yeah. On campus it was like everyone like that lived on campus had to compete. It was a nightly competition, and I held that title the time that I was there.
Right.
So,
of course you did.
10 years ago. But
I'll take you on.
Once you get a skill, you always have it. Maybe.
I may seem quiet on the front, but you give me a
You give me a tiny little racket, and I'll smack the shit out of everything. Yeah. Nice. I look forward to that day. It's going to be hilarious. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll let you
We'll get off the, out, no off, worries. The off the stools.
I'm going to play some music.
Let you play some songs. Song. Whatever. Do a dance. Doesn't matter. Anything.
Anything.
All of the above. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You are amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And we're going to put links to all your music, the album that you have got out, and all your social media channels and all the stuff at the bottom of this video. So everyone go check out Lachlan's stuff. And, yeah, we will hopefully be seeing you at Lion Dance Studios in the future for a gig, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? Let's do it. Nice.
Because we can all just like, yes, and a ping pong battle. Yeah, we can have like, you could do your first set for however long you want, and then everyone has half-time to stop. Break. And then we have a ping pong battle. And then we play another set of Pan Pan Chill to come back down to earth again.
Sure.
After the emotional upheaval of someone losing ping pong.
Him.
So, no, I love what you've created here. And I think, creatives and, you know, artists need a space like this. So,
thanks.
Keep on pushing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for being a part of it.
No worries.
We'll be seeing you around.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo! Cut!